All right, let's go on something. Ruven b'chol Yisrael b'nei Ruven chanoich mishpachas hachanochi lefalu mishpachas hapalui. Okay, now we're going to enumerate all of the people. Ruven is the b'chor, is chanoich, and then there is palu. The mishpachas hachanochi, mishpachas hapalui. Rashi, long Rashi here. Mishpachas hachanochi lefi shoy homos mevazin oisam. Ve'oimim mo elu misyachasim al shiftehen. They were mevaze oisamus oisam. Let's see. Savudim heim shalo shaltu hamitzriim bi'im oisayim. So they were mevaze the Jewish people. They were saying you're going to assume that you have yichus. You were slaves in Egypt, and certainly the Egyptians impregnated your wives. Therefore lefichach hitel hakadosh baruch hu shmoy aleihem. Hey, mitzad ze, v'yad mitzad ze, le'man meir, ani aleihem shehim b'nei avo yisehem. So now we know why it says over in the Pasuk, hacha noichi. Hacha noichi is hey yud, the name of Hashem, lefalu mishpachas hapalu'i. There's a hey and there's a yud, to say testimony that Hashem is resting his name, to testify that there's no foul play. Okay, no foul play. Fine. V'zeh mishum first shayde David shifte ka edus lishol. The shifte ka, when you have the yud and the hey, this is a testimony for Jewish people. Hashem azem eid aleihem l'shiftehem l'fich lifa b'chulam kasav hachanachi hapalui avol b'yimna lehutzach lema mishpachas hayimni l'fish Hashem kavuabo yud b'roish v'hei b'soif yimna. Okay, so isn't that beautiful? All of the shvat b'Hashem eir, a yud and a hey. And Yimna, there was no need to, because Yimna already has the way it is. Now, by the way, there's another thing I want to say. If you want to say Drush, it goes even further, because by the other Shvatim, it's backwards. It's backwards. Hey comes first, and then the Yud is at the end. That's backwards. It should be Ka. The Yud is first, hey, at the end. The only one that has it in the order, the correct order, is Yimna. Yimna has the Yud in the beginning and the Hey at the end. Okay, let's see what it says over here. Mr. Rapport, Shalom Aleichem, welcome. We're learning Sheni. We're in Bamidbar, Numbers 26:5.
Chav Vav Hei. Did you resolve your other issue? I'm curious. You want to talk about it later?
I'm sorry.
Shev Brachas issue.
Yeah, so they did exactly what you said. And I didn't look up all the. They did what you said, 40 minutes. They have three Sheetas. Three Sheetas is like, we have Shem Zalman, Mamish, everything you said, we're on the mark, 100%. Shem Zalman Arbach says you do zero, you have to finish Shev Brachas. The Shevet Alevi, Rav Wozner holds you can go as long as you want. Shabbos is an exception. You can darshan away all the whole night, even though ordinarily you have to say the Shevet Brach. Even ordinarily you have to say the Shevet Brach by Shkia. He holds that Shabbos is an exception. I don't know the Lumbus. He says you can say the Shevet Brach all the way until whenever you finish Al Shudas, you can say the Shevet Brach even on the last day. And Rav Moshe holds be'ikar like Rav Shlomo Zalman, that it has to be basically shkia, but you can be makel for various reasons, because it's not really shkia, it's not really end of the day, until 40 minutes. So what they did was they started early, and they ate and they spoke until about 30 minutes after sunset, and then they benched, and then they recited the Sheva Brachas, and the Sheva Brachas concluded exactly 40 minutes after sunset, and then there was a speech for about another 15-20 minutes until Ma'ariv. You are Mechadon, Mr. Rapport, you could be a rabbi. You can be a rabbi of a big shul. You know,
no,
all the halachas.
Really. Well, I just read the article, Rabbi.
So you mamash Mechadon. Because my brother told me in the beginning of the week, that he doesn't know what to do. He has to ask Rabbi Ma'ayin exactly what to do. It's a choshev olam there, the B'nai Torah. You can't just get away with it. You can't get away with anything there. You know, they're gonna pounce on you. So he spent time being ma'ayin and speaking to the Rabbanim what they feel is the correct thing to do. And that was the maskana. 40 minutes. It was very good. They benched. No, everyone took a bracha. No one had any problem taking a bracha. And then they said they had a speech afterwards for 20 minutes. It was very nice, actually. It worked out very, very nicely. But if you wouldn't know, you'd be getting into a lot of trouble. You don't know the halacha? Okay, let's go weiter. Let's see over here. The Targum, L'chetzrein, Zar is Chetzrein, the seed of Chetzrein. Chetzrein is L'charmi, Zar, it's the wrong pasuk. I'm sorry, it's the wrong pasuk. Pasuk, hey. Ruvein Buchro, the Yisrael, B'nei Ruvein, Chanoich, Zar is Chanoich, lefalo zaris palus. Isn't this amazing? Isn't this amazing what over here? This is clearly a proof to our principle that we learned this year. Now, I was talking to someone, talking to a tremendous Talmud Chacham, an awesome Talmud Chacham. How long ago was this? This was last Sunday. This was not yesterday. It was exactly 1 week ago. And I told him, he asked, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? So he's pressing me. So I said, we learn whatever. We learn Chumash Rashi. I'm a Chumash Rashi uncle. So I saw, I told him, Chumash uncle is Pashag, and he told me all the Svarim. I said, I know. I told him I use Ma'at Sari. And he started talking. I said, it's Pashut. It's clear as day that Rashi wrote his Sefer, not on Chumash. He wrote his Sefer on the Targum. Rashi is a super commentary. I learned that line a long time ago. There's a commentary. And when you write a commentary on a commentary, it's called a super commentary. Rashi is a super commentary. It's not a commentary. He did not write a Perush on Chumash. He wrote a Perush on Uncleus. And the more you learn Chumash, Rashi, and Uncleus, the more that becomes obvious. And this person's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He's over the top. And he didn't like that. He didn't say it's wrong what I said, but I saw he wasn't willing to give in to me on that. So I'm telling you, it's Pashut. Go learn. Can you imagine? I was such a chutzpah. I was telling someone who knows everything. I don't know. I don't know if he really learns Uncleus. I don't know. You know, that's maybe not his thing. But look at this. This Rashi is a proof to our Yisite. Because why does Rashi over here have to go throw this in? This whole Medrash here. Why is he throwing this in? Rashi over here says, there's nothing else to say. Rashi had nothing else to select to talk about over here. Rashi, who says he needs to comment altogether over here? Ruvein b'chor yishol b'nei ruvein b'chanech mishpachas ha-chanechi. L'fallu mishpachas ha-pa'alu'i. What's Rashi come to say? You know what the answer is? Because Rashi went uncleus. And uncleus says Ruvein b'chor yishol b'nei ruvein chanoich zaris chanoich. Okay, so what did uncleus do? Uncleus deleted the hey and the yod. He deleted the hey and the yod. Mishpachas ha-chanoichi. No, mishpachas chanoich. Rashi went ballistic. What? What did you do, Uncleus? Why did you delete the hey and the yud? Rashi could not deal with this. And that's why Rashi wrote this whole long pshetel and says every time you have, the reason why there's repetition and there's a hey and this is because Hashem is saying Edus, that in Egypt there was no foul play. They were guarding in our eyes. And it's a pasuk, Shiftei Ka, Yud Ke, Eidos Li Yisrael. And I wrote this whole pshetel. Whenever you have the Yud and the Hey surrounding the name, that is an indication that the Yichus is absolute. It is pure. It is clean. There was no Arayos. And Hashem is
no hanky panky.
No hanky panky. No one was in the newspapers for you know what. It was clean as a whistle. And except for Yimla, you don't need. So it's unbelievable. This is mamish, a great example to prove our thesis, our PhD doctorate, to show that Rashi wrote his commentary as a super commentary on Uncleus, and that's exactly what triggered this Rashi. Can you argue on me? Anyone here want to argue on me and challenge me that this idea is not correct based upon this alone? Okay, which is a coincidence. Just a coincidence. Rashi wrote this whole pshetel on this pasuk over here, and the Uncleus Bedaf when did not write the Yud and the Hey when he translated. Obviously, Rashi is focusing on Uncleus. Okay, now Rashi doesn't. I have to acknowledge that Rashi embellishes things in the pasuk. Obviously, Midrashim and other things that Uncleus, that's not necessarily connected to Uncleus. But the primary focus on a lot of the Rashi is clearly he's taking aim. He's taking aim at Uncleus, and if there's nothing to take aim at, he lets it go. And he doesn't go, he doesn't open up the Midrashim on the shelf and just start picking eeny, meeny, miny, mo to go pick a Midrash to go fill up the page. Not doing that. He's focusing on something. He has a base. He has a starting point. Okay, if we only learned that in all these last 2 years, that Yisoid, that was Kedai. Okay, now you go to the next one. L'chetzrein. What is Chetzrein? L'chetzrein, Mishpachas HaChetzreini, L'charmi, Mishpachas HaKarmi, and there is no Rashi. Onkelis is just very straightforward. L'chetzrein, L'zaris Chetzrein, L'chetzrein, Zaris Chetzrein, L'charmi, Zaris Karmi. Okay. Eilen, Mishpachas HaRuveini. These are the families of Ruveini, Levi, Yehuda, and Shlosha. What are the numbers? Numbers are Shlosha Meos. I love this. This is Gvaldik. I love what they do over here on Sefaria, where instead of writing out the numbers, they give you the numbers. Doesn't that make it so much easier for the mind? Well, for my little mind, it makes it so much easier when I see 43,730. If I go see a whole line of English telling you 43,730, and then I have to go, what does that mean? Put it in numbers in my mind. This is good. I love this. This is very good. These are the clans. This is such an old-fashioned word to use this word, clan. Who used the word clans today? No one uses that word anymore. The Reubenites. Who does that today? No one does that today. This English is something very, very strange English. Very strange what they do with this English. I wonder who wrote this. Okay. These are the clans of the Reubenites. Vayufikudihem, what are their numbers? The men enrolled. Enrolled? What does that mean? That's not what it means. Vayihu fikudehem. Their number. Elef fikudehem mishkan. Their number. No one enrolled. What does that mean? The men enrolled came to? What? What does that mean? I take issue with this translation. Their number was, not came to, the number was 43,730. No Rashi, Targum says, Elaine Zarayas Ruben Vahavo, and it was, you see, that's, I was having to disagree, it was, Min Yon Nehon, their number, enrolled, I don't know where they got that from, the word Pikudim means their number, Arbuin Uslosin, 43, Alfin, 43,000, Ushvameo, and 700 uslosin, and 730. Okay, good. Now, uvnei falu eliyav. Now we go to Palu. Who is Palu? Born to Palu. What's their star here? Why is there a star here? Born. Oh, look at this. They have over here fancy stuff on the computer. You click on the star and it changes it. Born to, or descendants of. Wow, fancy, huh? They give alternate translations. Okay, born to Palu was Eliab. Why Eliab? Eliav. This is Havora Sephoradit. Eliab. Vnefalu Eliav. Okay, Rashi. Oh, no, we're in the wrong pasuk. Rashi, very short pasuk, three words. There are not many pesukim in Tanakh that have three words. Okay, we have a three-word pasuk. Meir, why don't you ask Tamari for all the three-word pesukim in Tanakh? Let's see what she comes up with. Yeah, it's a good. That'll be a good thing to ask her. Targum uvnei falu Eliyav. Eliyav. Notice there's no difference. There's no difference in the Targum and the pasuk. Uvnei falu Eliyav. Isn't that amazing? There's another Musar in Targum. The Targum, what is he doing? Why is he bothering to translate the Pasuk when there's nothing to translate? What is the Targum coming to add? What is the Targum coming to add? Vnei Falu Eliyav. So I think, I'm not going to go with the Sefer now. I think that's what the star over here is. I think that's the star. So we have to go look at another Mefarshim and see what they say. But over here in Sefaria, they added this star here, born to or descendants of. In Aramaic, is there a difference between the word children versus descendants? Or is it the same Aramaic word? I don't know. But maybe
is
that...
Why is it Lashon Rabbah? Why did it say Ben Palu Eliyahu? The sons of, or one?
Oh, okay, I didn't realize. You're asking a good question. You're asking a very good question. I don't know. Is there any note in the article there that says something? I don't know. You're asking a very good question. You're asking good. Okay, we can go spend a whole day on this. Old and Farshim. Right now we have to stick to our program. Our program we're doing over here, Rashi, so I don't know the answer. Okay, it's a good question. Okay, we have two questions. Number one, if there's only one child, why is it called Vinay? Number two, what is the Targum coming to add that we don't already know? So I suggest one answer is that over here, as they are hinted to us over here on this star, that the word B'nai can mean either one of two things. It means the children, or it means a child, or it means descendants. Perhaps there is a difference in Aramaic between the word children and descendants. And the fact that it says Uvinay is coming to teach us maybe it means a child, a biological child, not descendants. Or maybe now this is more of a different type of idea. Maybe sometimes you need Targum by not translating it. That is a lesson in and of itself. Because if you wouldn't translate it, I don't know, you gotta think about that. This is definitely those who study Targum a lot, they do definitely talk about this topic, about situations just like this, where the Targum is not eating anything, because the Targum writes down exactly what it says in the Pasuk. So save some ink. What are you doing? If you're not coming to say anything, any Aramaic, at least if you have even one word, you have a whole Pasuk, and every single word in the Pasuk is going to be exactly the same. But there's one additional word of translation that you add, okay, then you can understand why the Targum felt it necessary to repeat the Pasuk. But the Targum's not going to even add in one single word into the translation, so what maybe just skip it. There's something going on here. I don't know what the answer is. Pasuk Yud. Uvinei Eliyav. Now that we've gone to Eliyav. Nimuel. Okay, Mr. Rapport, maybe you want to go say that the Uvinei is really going on the next Pasuk as well. Once you mention the descendants, a child includes within him all of the future descendants. One person is not a person. A person really represents all that will come from him. There's a lot more in a person than just the person himself. These guys, wherever you go, they show up again. You can never get rid of them. Whenever you have that type of experience, you can never get rid of certain people. Wherever you go, they will follow you down and haunt you. They showed up in the beginning parasha Shemos. Lo masake esrei echa. Vayom mosh vayar mosh sod ish ma'ake ish echa ish ivri me'echov. Who were they? Shnei anoshim ivrim nitzim. There were two Jewish men who were fighting with one another. Who were they? Oh, Nadav Avihu. And then later on, then when next time is they were mukim, when Paro made a gezerah and said, no one, do not give straw to the Jewish people, who took the hit? Nadav Avihu. And they went and they cursed Moshe. So Nachamo, Nadav Avihu. The man, it says there are people they took out the leftover man, Nadav Avihu. Okay, then Koirach, Nadav Avihu. They were swallowed up. And here we go again. They're still around. We're going back and getting the Yichus. Nimuel Vidosan Va'aviram. It's really amazing. It's really amazing how the Torah does not let go of them. They're very complicated people. They're very complicated. You know, if we were writing the we very much like to rewrite history. When we today, in the 21st century, today the world became, you know, in Yeshiva world, a very right-wing world. So when they want to write history, they whitewash a lot of stuff. Or they ignore a lot of things. It's not important. It's not important. It's not relevant for us. So you just forget about it. And the Torah doesn't forget about it. Even though they were evil, they were instigators against Moshe Rabbeinu. They caused a lot of damage to the Klal Yisrael. When the Torah records history, we're not forgetting. Don't rewrite history. Be honest. Present the facts the way they are. Don't ignore significant facts, no matter how unpleasant, embarrassing they are. Honesty. Record the events the way they are. Torah records Dasan and Avir. What would have been over here in this pasuk? If there are many psukim in Tanakh where we go through Yichus and the Torah just glances over. The Torah just, you know, that's not important. So the Torah just ignores a lot of things. Here it doesn't. They're already dead. They're long gone. And now we're doing Yachis Klal Yisrael. We have now over here all these psukim. How many psukim? We have over here three psukim. That's quite a bit. Three whole psukim telling us about Nadav Avihu. I mean, sorry, Dasan v'Aviram, which we know about already. There's no chidushim here. And yet the Torah is three psukim. Harbei gufei Torah. We only know from a remes, from an extra yud, from a little this, a little that. Yet when it comes to this, Torah, three whole psukim. Don't forget these people, even though they were very evil. If you bow kriya, you got to be careful over here, not to make this mistake. Kiriei hoida, they were the, what has been kiriei, this is a very hard word to translate. So this is very, very controversial what he wrote, so right over here in this English. I love to chop it with this English. Chosen in the assembly. Really? The word kiriei means chosen? Really, that what it means? Okay, let's hold that thought for one moment. Asher hitsu, what does that mean? This is nifal, seven binyanim, asher, who agitated. That's an interesting word. Agitated, okay, against Moses, al Moshe v'al Aaron, ba'adas karchen, the assembly of Korach, behatsoisam al Hashem, when Korach against Hashem. So over here, this is a very, very fascinating passage. What I think over here is, okay, let's see the Rashi. There's a lot going on here. Very interesting pasuk. Okay, Korach. Asher hitzu. He explains. No need for me to explain the Rashi. Asher, which, or that, hitzu. He translated to mean agitated. Who did they agitate? Even though the word agitate, I don't know if it's the right word. But who, against whom? Es Yisrael al Moshe. Rashi here adds in a word into the pasuk that it does not say. Asher hitzu, they caused others to be agitated, to rise up and fight al Moshe. Who did they?
The article uses the word incited.
Incited?
Agitated. Incited, okay. Means you stir up somebody else.
And what does agitate say? Actually, it's pretty similar, very similar.
That statement is you yourself. It could be internally.
No, you cause others, right? To be as over here.
Upset, you make yourself upset against them.
No, so
that's
right. No,
Rashi,
yeah.
Rashi has to say.
Es Yisrael. So you can use one of the same word. I like your word better. I like incited. But Asher Hitzu, Rashi saying is that they caused. Dasan va'aviram caused others to rise up against Moshe. Now, when you say the word rise up, what does that mean, rise up? Either he caused others to be agitated against Moshe or incited others against Moshe. Inciting is similar to agitated. Yeah, maybe, yeah, maybe not. Okay, that's not the point. That's a good one. It's a very good one. But the Rashi, you said, Mr. Rappel, you are correct. Asher hitzu is Lashon Hifil. You caused others to be worked up, to rise up. If you want to define the rising up as an agitation, or if you want to define the word rising up as to incite, that these, the Klal Yisrael, they were incited. Like you sick a dog, you tell the dog, go, bite. So they caused others. Now over here, go back to the English, which is not accurate. Chosen, who agitated against Moses and Aaron. So you're right, in the English, I didn't pay it in English. That's not so clear in the English that Dasan va'aviram caused others to be agitated against Moshe and Aaron. He doesn't say that, make it clear. If you want to read that into the English, maybe, maybe not. But Rashi is super duper clear. He learns, Asher hi tzu, they cause others to be agitated. Who is the subject of the word others? Es Yisrael al Moshe. When did Dasan va'Avim step into the picture? Behatzoisam es ha'om al Hashem. Now notice Rashi is very precise. Es ha'om. And who is this going on? Koirach. When Koirach, ba'adas Koirach, behatzoisam al Hashem. There are two differences. Number one, Koirach, adas Koirach, was causing the om, doesn't say Yisrael, the om, to be agitated against Hashem. When Dasan va'Aviram saw Koirach, Adas Koirach, working on the Jew, on the om, to rise up against Hashem, that is when Dasan va'Aviram took advantage and worked on Yisrael to be agitated against, not Hashem, against Moshe the Aaron. Okay, Rashi here says quite a commentary. And I don't even know if you know this, if you would go back to Parashas Korach. If we were to go back to Parashas Korach, would this be super duper clear? Not necessarily. This is an historical fact, which has been made very clear here, middle of nowhere, in Parashas Pinchas. From all Parashas, who'd even know that this piece of information is found over here telling us a very important detail about the story of Korach. Chazal always say, Divrei Torah aniyim b'mokim echad v'ashirim b'mokim acher. The words of Torah are poor. You're lacking critical details of what you need to know in one place, but they are supplemented and they are filled in another location that is totally unexpected. And if you know, this is a Yisrael in Shas, in the Bavli. Many, many times you have this, you're learning a Masechta, has nothing to do, let's say you're learning Masechta Shabbos. Let's say you're learning Masechta, Chveis Masechta Ksubis, and you come across a Gemara, and the Gemara goes on a tangent and discusses something related to Shabbos. And the Gemara presents a principle that is literally, that is a significant foundational principle in the concepts of Shabbos. Now, you would expect to find that in Masechta Shabbos. After all, you have a whole Masechta devoted to Shabbos. And yet, one of the most foundational principles of the concept of Shabbos in Halacha or Agada, it's not even in the Masechta. It's in a different Masechta. This happens all the time. All the time. You learn Daf Yomi, you learn Masechta Yevamos, you think, oh, you learn Masechta Yevamos, you know now every single thing there is to know about Yibam.
Guess what? I often see in the Gemara, not in the Mishnah, but in the Gemara, you bring down a statement of one town or one Amara. Oh, as long as we're saying something in his name about this topic, we're going to bring down, I don't know, three or four.
Right, right, that's very common. Right.
So I think is it accurate to say that when they were learning in the Beis Medrash at the times at Amara and Matana, there wasn't like, okay, we got to stick to the subject matter?
Not necessarily. I don't know because not necessarily, because the Gemara is not a record.
It's not free flowing.
The Gemara is not the minutes of what happened in the Beis Medrash every single day. The Gemara was written down, and the Gemara, when they arranged the Gemara, they arranged it based upon whatever rules they wanted to. The writing of the Gemara is not a record of what took place in the Beis Medrash on any given day. There are conversations that were put in certain Masechtas, and others were put in other Masechta. And many times you have a Tan and Amar that says some loose statements, so it was collected into one location. But that does not mean that in the Beis Medrash, on that very day, he said all of these things. It could very well be that in the Beis Medrash, don't go off the topic. And if someone would have said that the member that the Gemara quotes, they would have thrown him out. Right now, don't confuse us. Right now, we're delving into this particular topic. Don't confuse us with another topic. How come then Ravina and Rav Ashi, when they wrote the Gemara, they put these things together because they all relate to this one person? Because the written word is not the same as the oral conversation. What goes on in the Beis Medrash, that's one conversation. When you want to make a record in writing in a book, then you have a different set of rules. Let's go back over here. Over here, this is a principle all over in Shas. Divrei Torah Ashinim b'makom echad v'anim b'makom echad v'ashinim b'makom echad. Here is an example in the Torah. Over here we have three psukim telling us about Korach. Telling us about Dosan v'Aviron. And here it says something very, very powerful. There's incredible chidushim here on this Rashi, in this pasuk. He says that Korach, Dosan v'Aviron, this is the Yisro we always talk about, Dosan v'Aviron, they did not have the Koyach to start a new machlekes. You don't find Dosan v'Aviron ever being able to stand up on their own and rebel against Moshe. When think about all the times that they rebelled. When did they rebel? They rebelled during an event. They were fighting among themselves. They didn't go when Moshe went and Moshe killed the Mitzri. They saw. Did Dosan v'Aviram go and tell Paro right away what happened? No. Moshe, Vayifin Koivukoi, there was no one there, and Moshe thought no one was watching, and he went and he killed the Mitzri. The next day, and did anyone tell the police? Did anyone report Moshe? No one reported Moshe. The next day, Moshe goes and he sees Dosan Va'aviram fighting, and Moshe is attacking them. Moshe is giving them Musar. Now, when Moshe picked a fight with them, now they go causing trouble for Moshe. Dosan v'Aviram, they were in the middle of something else which caused them to be unleashed. When it came to the Mon, Moshe told them what to do, so they put out Mon on Shabbos. Dosan v'Aviram were not stand-alone rebels. Dosan v'Aviram only made trouble when opportunities were available. They did not create opportunities. Something came along, they were opportunists. Where something came along, they took advantage. So here, Adas Korach was coming to incite the Now the usually refers to the Erev Rav, people on the fringe. Here we have the Erev Rav who worshipped the Eagle. They were not the mainstream of the Jewish people. They were the fringe elements who were weak. Dosan Adas Korach, which is a tremendous chiddush, were coming to attack Hashem. That's what it says over here. Adas Korach was coming to instigate the against Hashem. Why? Not so clear why. When Dosan V'Aviron saw what was happening, they were opportunists. They took advantage. Now that there's already a rift in Klal Yisrael, the are rebelling against Hashem. Let's enter into the picture and try to spread it to Yisrael against Moshe V'Aaron, not against Hashem. There's a complex psychology taking place here. Dosan v'Avim, if not Adas Korach, they would have done nothing. They would not.
I thought Korach went. He wanted to gather his lodge.
Okay, you have to go back and see. I don't know the details. You have to go back and see the Mefarshim. I don't know. Could very well be. But if we look at the pasuk over here, this is a very important piece of information that we would not ordinarily know. It says here in Rashi that Dosan v'Aviram, they were the Kiriei Hoido. He calls over here the chosen. Okay, we have to. I'm not so happy with that. Asher Hitsu, what did they do? They caused others to rise up. Against whom? Al Moshe v'Al Aaron. When? Hear the word when. Ba'adas Korach. When? The assembly of Korach b'hatzai sam. When they caused the Jewish people to rise up. Al Hashem. They took advantage of a situation. Ba'adas Korach b'hatzai sam. Who the Back to the Rashi. First you have Korach. Ba'adas Aviron. Es Yisrael. Al Moshe. B'hatzai sam es ha'om al Hashem. Now, what's the word hitsu? He see you to lift up, to rise up, es Yisrael, loriv, to quarrel, al Moshe, l'shoin hif'ilu, to cause others. There are seven binyonim, seven forms of a word. And this form is the form called hif'ilu, to cause others to do something. They caused others. So hif'ilu, they caused, who do they cause? The Jewish people. To do what? To rise up, to fight. What's the English word to summarize that? To incite. To incite. Agitate? I don't know, that's too weak. That's too weak of a word. Agitate means you're just upset. Incite is richer. It means you go into the boxing ring and you give a punch. Incite has more of a ring to it. And who do they incite? Rashi says Yisrael, the elite. And to do what? To fight against Moshe v'Aaron. Korach wasn't fighting against Moshe v'Aaron, according to Rashi. Korach, or at least his adas, his assembly, they were attacking the vulnerable, the weak, not the Yisrael, the Om, to fight to rise up and rebel against Hashem. But when there's a rebellion against Hashem, that creates a cavity, that creates a fissure, which allows troublemakers to enter into the fray and make trouble. There's a very powerful stuff here in this Rashi. Now let's see what it says over here in the Unkelis. Unkelis says, Vnei Eliyav, well, who's the Vnei Eliyav? Nimuel Vidasan Vaviram, Vidasan Vaviram. Who, now we go there, Me'are. Now Me'are is the word Hitsu. Iror. Iror means to fight. Is Rashi, this Kinishta, kin the assembly, the Iskinoshu, the assembly that gathered, the Iskinoshu, we didn't say the word, we didn't say over yet. Hudasan Vaviram, Kireho Ido, let's go back over here. Who doesn't have him? Ma'are kinishta. I made a mistake. Kirino, no, not necessarily. Ma'are kinishta. What does that mean? Kirie hoida. What does it mean, ma'are? Give us here a translation of the word ma'are in Aramaic. I need to know what that word means. Kinishta, because that's the meaning of the word kirie. The English translator said the word chosen. Mr. Rappaport, what does it say in the article for the word Kyrie?
Kyrie Hoeda?
Yeah.
He says who was summoned by the assembly.
They were summoned? They were summoned?
That's the translation he's giving.
That's a chiddush. That's a very chiddush.
Okay.
They were summoned by the Eda. They were summoned. Okay, they were. The word could mean called.
They were summoned by the assembly. It doesn't make sense. So what do you mean they were summoned? Who summoned them?
They were appointed. Summoned means that they were elected. The word kiri means to be called. Literally, lashon kuf resh aleph, to call out, to call out. The Eda called out to Dosan va'aviram, meaning they elected them. You have a candidate. Who wants to be the president of the United States? Who wants to be? So the world, 80, how many votes did Biden get? How many people in this country voted for Biden? The most ever in American history. 80-something million people. Mr. Rappaport, do you believe that 83 million people voted for Joe Biden?
Recount. You have to have a recount.
A recount? They did a recount in all the states. They did a recount.
They recount.
They spent millions on
Trump
these recounts.
Says they need a recount.
They did recounts. The recounts came out the same. They rigged the recounts. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Go to jail for saying that.
They rigged the recount.
Okay, whatever it is. 83 million people called out and they said, we want Dosan Va'aviram. Kiryat means to call out. But is that what the Targum says? Me'are Kinishta. I gotta go look this up, what this word means. Kinishta. The Iskinoshu, they gathered. Al Moshe v'al Aaron, b'chnishta, in the gathering. The Korach, b'iskanoshehon, when they gathered al Hashem. So first of all, the word behatzoisa.
I have to go to Minsk. Okay.
So maybe we'll continue tomorrow. I have to go look at these two words.
Are you giving a shiur tonight?
Yes. 8:30. Daf Yomi, 8:30. Okay, we have to go look this up tomorrow. Okay, we have to go look up this word, the Iskinoshu. There are two words here that are critical to understand what's going on here. The word ma'are and the word the iskinoshu. These words are going to be mavdil ben Rashi l'unkelus, and certainly between the English translator, which is a very good contrast to get us to think of what this pasuk really means. So believe neder, pick up tomorrow. Rabbi Yosef said with this. In the meantime, everyone, good night. Thank you for coming. Rabbi Leizer, Yashar Koyach for coming, keeping me sane. Mayor, thank you for keeping me insane. And Ezra, he keeps me sharp. Okay, Rabbi Yosef.
Thank you for what?
For keeping me insane.
Thank you.
Okay, Zygazon.
You're publishing a speech?
Speech? What speech?
Didn't you speak at the Sheva Brachas?
Who cares what I said? I gave a Lebedeke Hespet. I said one thing that the women went crazy over. The women, they went, there was one thing, the whole drasha, I don't think it was the one word I said, but there was one thing that I got already so many comments. They
what
went
did you say?
Crazy. Said that my sister-in-law, her name is Tzipi. So her Tzipi, Gesundheit. So her real name is Tzipa. Tzipa. That's the name, yeah. Tzipa. So I said, I was like joking, when I said, well, my brother got engaged. Years ago, I said to my brother, what's this name, Tzipa? I never heard of a name Tzipa. Tzipa? What's Tzipa? Bird? A Tzipor? What is a Tzipa? So I said, now, after all these years, I figured it out. Remember, this is Lakewood here, and we're dealing here with Charedim, and you're not even allowed to mention a woman's name, by the way. You know, you mention a woman's name, isn't that? So I said, what's the name of your kala? Tzipa? What's Tutsukha? Tzipa? They're all like on the edge of their seat. A bird, what is this name, Tzipa? Now, after all these years, I finally figured out what the name really means. It comes from the word to cover. V'tzipiso oisoi zohov tor mibayis umichutz tetzapen. She treats her husband as if he's the Aron HaKodesh. And she covers mibayis umichutz with zohov tor b'tzimra b'farhesia. Oh, they love that. Everything else I said was nonsense. Oh, they love that. Covered. Lebedeke Hespedim.
What'd your brother say?
Nothing. My brother said nothing. He said, he doesn't talk to my brother. My brother doesn't talk. He doesn't talk. That's his meter. He doesn't.
I
What?
It's a very big Milo.
Very big Milo.
It's a very big Milo.
I talk to him, I tell him all these crazy things, and he just listens and he shakes his head. And the more he shakes his head, the more I tell him crazy things and crazy things. And the more he shakes his head, until I get tired of talking and I go away. He knows how to deal with me.
All right.
Amen. Zygizant. Ezra, have a good night, Ezra.